Welcome to Dune Reads Goosebumps. I am Dune, and this is part two of Don't Go to Sleep, read by Chris on Dune Reads Goosebumps. Wasn't that an impressive beginning? Well, that was just really good. My tone sounds patronizing, and I totally don't mean that. Chris, you are awesome. Seriously, feel free to do this anytime. Let me know if you want to have a competing podcast that's Chris Reads Goosebumps. Then we'll fight it out. To the death. To the death, Chris! Rawr! Dude out!
Hello, everybody. It's Chris here again with part two of Don't Go to Sleep. When we left off, we were chapter 14, I'm pretty sure. Anyway, page 60 was... I didn't move. I couldn't. So my dad pushed me into the lion's cage and shut the door. I backed up against the cage wall. Oh, well, chapter 14. I backed up against the cage wall, the cold steel bars pressed into my back. My legs were trembling so hard I thought I'd fall on my face. The lion stared at me. He sniffed the air. I heard animals smell fear. This lion's got a nose full. My father, the lion tamer, stood beside the cage.
We're trying a new trick today, Matt.
Sorry if my voices aren't on correctly, because I don't remember what I was doing for the voices. Anyway,
you're going to ride the lion.
He might as well have punched me in the stomach. I was going to ride the lion? Yeah, right. Some father this guy was, feeding his son to a lion. The lion stood up. I kept my eyes on him. My whole body shook with fear. Roar! Sorry about that. That was just pitiful. It's a really pitiful roar. The lion's breath blew in my face, like a hot... like hot wind. My hair stood up on end. The lion stepped toward us. Dad cracked his whip. Ha! He shouted. The lion stepped back, licking his chops.
Go on, boy, Dad boomed at me. Climb on Hercules' back, then slide up to his shoulder. I'll crack the whip and make him start walking around.
I couldn't say a word. I just stared at the man, in total disbelief.
Why are you looking at me like that? You're not afraid. Why are you looking at me like that? You're not afraid of Hercules, are you?
Afraid? I stammered. Afraid wasn't the perfect word. Maybe terrified or horrified or frozen with fear, but afraid? Nah.
He cracked his whip again. No son of mine is a coward, he shouted. You'll get on that lion's back now.
Then he leaned down and whispered. Just watch that he doesn't bite you. Remember your poor brother Tom? He's still trying to learn how to write with his left hand. He cracked the whip again, right at my feet. I was going to ride the lion? Where were we? He leaned down and whispered. Just don't let him bite you. Remember your poor brother Tom? He's still trying to learn how to write with his left hand. He cracked the whip again, right at my feet. I was going to ride the lion? No way. And I couldn't. And I couldn't stay again the next second. Whip at me again. I jumped. No, I shrieked. Right at my feet. I tugged the cage door open and I ran out. And I ran out of the cage so fast Dad hardly knew what happened. Sorry if the video sounds choppy, like it sounds like I'm speaking a different tone, because I've had to stop this video a few times. I raced out of the tent. My brain scrambled. Hide! Find a hiding place, quick! I spotted a couple of trailers in the parking lot. I darted behind one and bumped right into Lacey. You again? I gasped. It was weird how she kept popping up. I've got to hide, I told her. I'm in trouble. What's wrong, Matt? She asked. What's wrong, Matt? She asked. I'm going to become lion food. Help me, I cried.
Popping up. Sorry.
I looked over. Two guys were running toward us. Oh no, I groaned. They were coming after me. I ran. There was no place to go. No place to hide. Except back inside the tent. I burst through the tent flap. I tried to catch my breath while my eyes were adjusting to the dark. I heard one of the guys in the back shout, "In there! He went inside the tent!" I stumbled through the darkness, searching for a place to hide. "Get him!" The boys went inside the tent now. I ran blindly right back into the lion's cage. Chapter 15. I slammed the cage door shut. The guys in black gripped the steel bars and shook them. You won't get away, one shouted. My dad, the lion tamer, was gone. I was alone in the cage with Hercules. Easy, boy. Easy, I murmured as I inched my way along the side of the cage. The lion stood in the center, eyeing me. The two guys rattled the cage door again. It swung open. They stepped inside, glaring at me.
You can't escape that easy, one of them warned.
The lion growled at them.
He's just an old circus lion, one guy said. He won't hurt us.
But I could tell that they weren't as sure as they sounded.
Hercules growled again louder this time.
The two guys stopped. I inched further around the cage while I'd put the line between me and the guys in black. It was my only chance. Carefully, one of the guys stepped forward. The lion roared at him. He stepped back. The lion's eyes darted from the guys to me. He was trying to decide who would be a tastier meal. You'd better get out of here, I warned. Hercules hasn't been fed yet. The guys watched Hercules wearily. He won't attack me, I bluffed. But I'm his master, so if I tell him to attack you, he'll go right for your throats. The guys glanced at each other. One of them said, he's lying. The other guy didn't look so sure. I'm not lying, I insisted. Get out of here right now, or I'll turn him on you. One guy made a move for the cage door. The other guy grabbed his arm and pulled him back. Don't be chicken, he snapped. Get them, Hercules, I shouted. Get them. Hercules let out the fiercest roar yet, and he pounced. The guys in black scurried out the cage door. They slammed the door behind them as Hercules tried to bound out. You won't get away, one of the guys in black yelled. We'll be back. Why do you want me? I screamed after them. Why do you want me? What did I do? Chapter 16. Hercules didn't really want to eat anybody. He just wanted to get out of the cage. He didn't even try to stop me. As I slipped out, I sneaked away to hide in the van until the circus practice was over. Where were you all day, Dad? Grumbled. When he found me, everyone else piled into the van. I felt sick, I complained. I had to lie down.
You're going to learn that trick tomorrow, Dad. Dad insisted, and you won't get out of it.
I just yawned. I figured tomorrow would never come. At least not for my circus family. Tomorrow would bring something new. Some new horror. Or something. I went to bed early that night. I didn't like being an 8-year-old in the circus family. I couldn't wait for it to be over. My circus brothers were climbing the walls in my old room. I'd never get to sleep in there, so I crept off to sleep in the guest room again, but I had trouble falling asleep. I couldn't stop wondering what the next day would bring. It's kind of hard to relax when you don't know what kind of world you wake up to. I tried counting sheep, but that never worked for me. So I tried to think of all the good things that could happen when I woke up. I could wake up as a Major League Baseball player, I could be the greatest pitcher in history of baseball, or I could be a very, very rich kid who gets everything he wants, or I could be a space explorer 500 years into the future. Why didn't anything like that ever happen to me? Most of all, I wished I could wake up and find my family again. My real family. They drove me crazy, but at least I was used to them. I even missed them a little bit. Okay, a lot. At least just before dawn, I fell asleep. It was still very early when I woke up. I gazed around the room. Everything seemed a little blurry. Who am I now? I wondered. The room looked normal. I didn't hear any noise. So I knew the circus family was gone. Might as well get it over with, I decided. I jumped out of bed. I felt a little shaky on my legs. I walked slowly to the bathroom. I looked in the mirror. Oh no, oh no. The worst one yet. The worst possible. I was an old man. No, I screamed. I couldn't take it anymore. I ran back to bed as fast as my rickety old legs would carry me. I got under the covers and closed my eyes. Just a little side note here. If it sounds like I'm really stuffed up, because I am, got a freaking cold now. Shouldn't have started this recording with a cold, but, you know, gotta try. I got under the covers and closed my eyes. I was going right back to sleep. I wasn't about to spend the whole day as an old man. Not when I'm really only 12. I quickly dozed off. When I woke up, I knew right away I had changed. I wasn't an old man anymore. I felt a surge of energy, power. I felt strong. Maybe I'm a baseball player after all, I thought, hopefully. I rubbed my eyes. That's when I caught a glimpse of my hand. It was green. My skin was green, and instead of fingers, I had claws. I swallowed hard. I tried to shake away my panic. What happened to me this time? I didn't waste a second finding it. I lumbled into the bathroom mirror. When I saw my face, I let out a roar of horror and disgust. I had become a monster, a hideous green monster. Chapter 18. I tried to scream. I tried to shout. This can't be happening to me. But all that came out was a terrifying snarl. No, I thought in total panic. I felt like tearing my horrible skin off. I was a hideous monster, and I couldn't even talk. I was big, almost 7 feet tall, and all power and powerful. My skin was a scaly green with black stripes like a lizard. I oozed slime all over. My head looked like a dinosaur with warts all over it. The spiky horn stuck out of the top of my head between 4 pointy ears. My hands and feet were sharp claws. My toenails clicked on the bathroom floor when I walked. I was ugly, dude. I wished I'd stayed an old man. Each time I woke up, life got a little worse. When was this ever going to end? How could I make it stop? I thought about Lacey. She seemed to pop up no matter where I went. She tried to help me escape those guys in black. I remembered she wanted to help me. I've got to find her, I decided. She's out there somewhere. She's my only chance. I staggered through the house in my monster body. The house was empty. At least I didn't have a family to deal with. A full family of monsters would have been a horrible nightmare. I had been grateful for the little things. Especially when I had a green skin and spikes growing out of my head. I limped out the door down the street. I tried to shout, "Lacey! Lacey! Where are you?" But my mouth couldn't make out the words. All that came out was a terrible, booming roar. Set, guys, I'm just going to pause this video and go take some medicine or something, try and clear this up for you guys. Okay, guys, recording again. My nose is a bit unstuffed now, but, sorry about that, it's a bit better now, but, not completely there yet. Kind of want to get this done within, 2 hours. Or were we? Warts all over my face. Nails clicked against the bathroom floor. How can I make it stop? Sorry. She's my only chance. Real nightmare at the door street. "Lacey, Lacey, where are you?" But my mouth couldn't make out the words. All that came out was a booming, terrifying roar. A car driving by down the street stopped, and suddenly the driver gasped at me through the windshield. "Don't be afraid," I cried. But that's not what came out. Another roar rippled through the air. The man screamed and backed his car down the street at full speed. He crashed into another car. I went over to see if anybody was hurt. A woman and her kid were in the other car. They must have been all right, because as soon as they saw me, they all jumped out of their cars and ran, screaming their heads off. My giant lizard feet carried me to the center of the town. I smashed through buses, kicked garbage cans over. People screamed in terror as soon as they saw me. "Lacey," I thought, "I've got to find Lacey." I tried to keep the thought in my head, but I was getting very hungry. Very, very hungry. Normally, I like peanut butter and jelly for a snack, but that day, I had a strong craving for metal, a nice, big, chunky hunk of metal. The town was in panic. People raced around, shrieking as if it was the end of the world, but I wasn't going to hurt anybody. All I wanted was a little snack. I stepped in front of a tasty-looking compact car. The driver slammed his brakes. Roar! I beat my chest with my powerful monster arms. The driver cowered out. I just reached out and snatched off a windshield wiper just for a taste. Rubbery goodness. The man flung open the car door. "No," he cried. "Don't hurt me. Leave me alone." He ran away. He had to hide somewhere. It was nice for him to leave the car to me. I ripped off the car door. I pulled the handle and I stuffed it into my mouth. Delicious. Nice, cool chrome. Then I took a bite out of the door. Chomp, chomp, chomp. My teeth were huge, sharp razors. They had no trouble chewing through the metal. Yum. Leathery upholstery for extra flavor. I finished off the door and reached and ripped out the bucket seat. What the hell? Bucket seat? Bits of yellow foamy rubber swept through my mouth as I ate. The leather was yummy, but the foam padding was kind of dry. It was like air dry. It was like air popcorn with no butter. Blah. It was tearing. It was terrible. I teared out the steering wheel. Yes? What? Oh, sorry, I talked to somebody. When I heard sirens, oh no, I saw that a mob had gathered around me, people pointing at me. "It's eating a car," someone screeched. Well, duh, I thought. What do you expect me to be eating? Rice Krispies? The sirens came closer. Police cars were pulling out all around me. "Clear the way," came a voice out of a loudspeaker. "Stand back. Clear the way." I'd better get out of here, I decided. I dropped the steering wheel. I was nibbling and began to run. People screamed and scattered out of my way. "Stop it! Get the monster!" The squeal of police sirens ripped through the air. If they caught me, I knew I'd be locked. They'd lock me up, or worse. I had to get out of there. I had to hide. I stumbled through the crowds. I headed for the edge of town. Then I spotted her. Lacey. Mobs of people were running away from me. She was the only one running toward me. I snarled to try and call Lacey. She grabbed me by the slimy arm and pulled me out of the crowd. She led me down an alley. We lost them all. I wanted to ask her where we were going, but I knew that the words wouldn't come out. I was afraid a roar might scare her. We ran and ran. We didn't stop running until we reached the woods at the edge of town. Lacey pulled me into the wood, deeper, deeper. She's hiding me, I thought, gratefully. I wished I could thank her. Okay, sorry, where were we? Might scare her. We ran through the woods. Could thank her. I followed Lacey down a narrow path. Then at the end of the path, we pushed... Oh, sorry about that, guys. My, sister. She's pretty stupid. She's not very smart at all. Sorry about that interruption. Sorry about all those interruptions, guys. Just gonna go from... I wish I could thank her. I followed Lacey down the narrow path. Then the path ended. We pushed our way through the brush until we came to a small house. And, well, it was hidden by trees and vines. You could hardly see it, even when you stood right in front of it. A hideout, I thought. How did Lacey find this place? I wondered if there was anything good to eat inside the house. I was getting hungry again. A couple of bicycles would taste good right now, I thought. Lacey opened up the door. She beckoned me to come inside. I went inside. Two people stepped out of the shades. Oh, no. Oh, no. Not them, but it was them. The guys in black. One of them spoke. Thanks for bringing him to us, he said. You did a good job. You did it. Your job well. Chapter 19. Roar! I thrashed my arms fiercely. I was furious. Lacey betrayed me. I had to get out of here. Fast. They dove for the door. But they dropped a net over me. They yanked the net. And I tripped. I fell with a heavy thud. The two guys closed the net over me. I roared and thrashed all my might, but I couldn't get out. They tied the net tightly around me. Get him out of here. Get me out of here, I wanted to scream. I slashed at the net with my claws. I bit it with my teeth, but it was made of some strange material I couldn't break. I couldn't break the strings. I snarled and kicked for a long time, but no matter what I did, I was still trapped. At least I got tired, and then I laid back on the floor. Lacey and the two guys in black stared down at me perfectly calm. I wished I could talk. I couldn't stop myself from trying. How could they do this to me? I tried to ask him. I thought I was your friend. Nothing came out but snarls and growls. Lacey stared at me. She couldn't understand what I was saying. The guys in black just folded their arms across their chests and sneered at me. Who are you? I wanted to ask them. What do you want? What's happening to me? No one answered me. Sorry about that. No one answered me. One of the guys, the taller one, said, All right, let's lock him up in the back. I roared again. I struggled as the three of them dragged my big slimy body across the floor. They pushed me into a small room at the back of the house. They locked me inside. The room was dark. There was only one small window and the metal bars on it. I could eat those bars, I realized, if I could only reach them. But I was stuck on the floor. I couldn't move in the tight net. I lay still on the floor for a long time. I was waiting for something to happen, but no one returned to the room. All I could hear was them quietly talking outside. But I couldn't make out what they were doing in the other room. Through the window, I saw light fade. Night was coming. I knew that there was nothing I could do but fall asleep. Fall asleep and hope I'd wake up a human. Chapter 20. I woke up groggy. My stomach hurt. Man, I thought. What did I eat yesterday? It feels like I've got a big lump of metal in my stomach. Then I remembered I did have metal in my stomach. Oh, yeah. I snacked out on that compact car. Mom always told me not to eat too many snacks. I gotta remember not to do that again. I sat up and checked myself out. I was human again. What a relief. The net lay open around me. Someone had cut it off while I was sleeping. But who was it? Was it now? Oh, yes. But who was I now? My arms and legs were skinny. My feet were flopping around and too big for my legs. But they weren't that big. Not even monster big. I was a boy again, but not my usual 12-year-old self. I figured I was about 14. I thought it's better than being a monster. A lot better. But I was still in the house in the woods, I realized. I'm still a prisoner. The two guys in black had finally caught me. What did they want? What were they going to do to me? I stood up and tried the door. Locked. I glanced at the window. There was no way I could break through those bars now. I was trapped. I heard a key in the lock. They were coming. I cowered into the corner of the room. The door swung open and Lacey and the two guys stepped in. Matt, Lacey said. She spotted me in the corner. What are you going to do to me? I asked. It was good to hear words coming out of my mouth instead of just roars. "Let me go," I cried. The guys in black shook their head. "We can't do that," the shorter guy said. "We can't let you go." They stepped closer. They balled their hands into fists. "No," I shouted. Stay away from me." The tall guy slammed the door shut, and they moved in on me. Chapter 21. They walked steadily toward me. I glanced frantically around the room for a way to escape. The guy blocked the path to the door. There was no way out. "We're not going to hurt you, Matt," Lacey said, gently. Oh, one sec, gotta check something on the computer. I'm at you. Well, once. Okay, back. To escape the door, block the path. "There was no way out. We're not going to hurt you, Matt," Lacey said, gently. "We want to help you, really." The guys took another step toward me. I shrank back. They sure didn't look like they wanted to help me. "Don't be afraid, Matt," Lacey said. "We just need to talk to you." She sat down in front of me. She was trying to show me I shouldn't be afraid. But the two guys stood guard on either side of her. "Tell me what's happening," I demanded. Lacey cleared her throat. "You're trapped in a reality warp," she explained, as if I know what she was talking about. Sorry about that, guys. Give me a second here. Okay, I hate my cold. Let's just go from there. "Of course, a reality warp," I cracked. I knew something weird was going on. "Cut the comedy," the shorter guy snarled. "This is not a joke. You're causing a lot of trouble." Lacey hushed him. "Quiet, Wayne. I'll handle this." She turned back to me and asked me in her soft voice, "You know what a reality warp is, do you?" "No," I replied. "I'm not going to like it." "When you fell asleep in your guest room, you fell into a hole in reality," she said. The more she told me, the less it made sense. "The reality hole is, well, reality in the guest room," she nodded. "You fell asleep in one reality and woke up in another. You've been stuck in this hole ever since. Now, whenever you go to sleep, you change what is real and what isn't real." "Well, make it stop," I demanded. "I'll stop you," the tall guy threatened. "Bruce, please," Lacey snapped. "What does all of this have to do with you, anyway?" I asked. "You're breaking the law, Matt," she said. "Every time you change, you break the law of reality." "I'm not doing it on purpose," I protested. "I never even heard of the laws of reality. I'm innocent." Lacey tried to soothe me. "I know you're not doing it on purpose, but it doesn't matter. It happens when you change bodies. You change what's real and what isn't real. For a lot of people, if you keep changing, you'll throw the whole world into confusion." "You don't understand," I cried. I want it to stop. I'll do anything to stop it. I just want to be normal again." "Don't worry," Wayne murmured. "We're going to stop it. We're the reality police," Lacey told me. "Our job is to keep reality under control. We've been trying to keep up with you, Matt. It hasn't been easy. With all the changes you've made, it hasn't been easy with all the changes you've made. But why?" I've asked. "What are you going to do?" "We had to capture you," Lacey said. "We can't allow you to break the reality laws," I thought quickly. "It's the guest room, right? That all happened because I slept in the guest room." "Well, I'll never sleep in the guest room again," I promised. "I don't mind if I change back into my old self. Skinny 14-year-old, but so bad." Lacey shook her head. "It's too late for that, Matt. You're trapped in the hole. It doesn't matter whether you sleep in the guest room or not. Every time you go to sleep, you'll wake up and change reality, no matter where you are." "You mean I can never fall asleep again?" "That's not quite it," Lacey glanced over at the two guys. They trained their blue eyes on me. "I'm sorry, Matt. I really am. You seem like a nice guy." An icy chill slipped down my spine. What are you talking about?" She patted my hand. "We have no other choice, Matt. We're going to put you to sleep. Forever." Chapter 22. I stared at her in horror. You can't do that," I stammered. "Oh, yes, we can," Wayne said. "And we will," Bruce added. "No," I shouted. I leaped to my feet and dove from behind the door. But Bruce and Wayne were ready for me. They grabbed me and held my arms behind me. "You're not going anywhere, kid," Wayne said. "Let go of me," I screamed. I struggled and squirmed. But I wasn't a gigantic monster anymore. I was a scrawny kid. No match for Bruce and Wayne. Even Lisa probably could have beaten me up if she wanted to. The guys tossed me against the wall of the room. We'll be back later, Lacey promised. Try not to worry about it too much, Matt. It won't hurt. They left the room. I heard the key turn in the lock. Sorry about that. I was trapped again. I searched the room for a way to escape. It was completely empty. No furniture at all. Not even a chair. Just four bare walls and a locked window. Locked door and a small window with metal bars. I opened the window and rattled the bars. I hoped it might be loose or something, but they didn't budge. It was like being in jail, but with the reality police. I put my ear to the door, listening if I could hear what they were talking about in the other room. You'll have to drink the sleeping potion, Wayne said. Make sure he drinks the whole cup, or he might wake up. But what if he spits it out, Lacey asked. What if he doesn't swallow it? I'll make him swallow it, Bruce vowed. Yikes, I couldn't listen to any more. Frantically, I paced around the room. They were going to feed me a sleep potion to make me sleep forever. I'd been in trouble before. My day in high school seemed scary at time. Being a monster was too scary, but now I was really done for. I've got to find a way out of this mess, I told myself. But how? How? Then it dawned on me. How did I get in trouble before? I fell asleep and all the problems went away. And when I fell asleep, all the problems went away. It's always when I wake up, a new worse problem begins. Maybe, I hoped, if I fall asleep, I'll wake up somewhere else. And that's how I can escape. I paced around the only room more. The only trouble was, how could I fall asleep? I was so terrified. I knew I had to try anyway, so I lay down on the floor. There was no bed, no pillow, no blanket. Daylight streamed through the small window. It was going to be hard falling asleep. I knew it wasn't going to be easy. You can do it, I told myself. Remember how my mom, my real mom, used to say, I could fall asleep in a hurricane. I'm a good sleeper. I hope it's true. I miss my mom. It seemed like I hadn't seen her in a long time. If only there were some way I could bring her back, I thought. I closed my eyes. I was very little. She used to sing to me to get me to sleep. I remember the lullaby she sang. All about pretty ponies. I hummed the song myself. Before I knew it, I drifted off to sleep. Just gonna stop. Sorry, guys. I do apologize for how crappy this recording quality is, but... No. Chapter 23. I opened my eyes. I rubbed them. Had I fallen asleep? Yes. Where was I? I looked up at the plain ceiling. I looked around the bare walls. A door. A window with bars on. No, I cried fiercely. No! I was still in the same room at the same house in the same woods. I was still a prisoner. My plan didn't work. What could I do now? I was so angry, so frustrated, so scared. I jumped up with rage. I jumped up with fury. Oh, shit, I gotta get the mic in the right place. In the woods. What? I was so angry. I was so frustrated. I was so scared. My plan hadn't worked. I had no more ideas. I didn't know what to do. I knew that there was no way to escape. I knew that I was doomed. I heard Lacey and the two other guys in the room. They were getting the sleeping potion ready. They'd put me to sleep forever. I never see my mother or Greg or Pam again. How could they do this to me? It wasn't fair. I didn't do anything wrong. Well, not on purpose, at least. Think about it all. Thinking about all this made me angry. And angrier and angrier. I screamed, "No!" And it sounded strange to me. I screamed again, not as loud this time. "No!" I thought I was saying no, but that's not what I heard. I heard a squeak. "No," I said. "Eek!" I heard. It was my voice, but I wasn't a human voice. I looked at myself. I'd forgotten to do that. I'd been so terrified to find myself still trapped. I didn't think about what I'd changed into, but I had changed. I was a small, about 8 inches tall. I had tiny little paws, gray fur. I was a big and big bushy tail. I was a squirrel. My eyes went to the window. I could easily squeeze through the bars now. I didn't waste a second. I scrambled up the wall and wiggled through the bars. I was free. Yippee! I did a little squirrel somersault in celebration. Then I ran through the woods as fast as I could. I found a path back to town. It seemed to take a long time. Short distances felt long to me now. All was quiet in town. Normal. No sign that the monster had ever stopped and eaten that car. I guess the reality disappeared, I thought. It was a new reality. I'm a squirrel. But at least I'm awake. I'm an awake squirrel. It's better than being a boy who was asleep forever. I sniffed the air. I could smell my host from Middletown. What, Daddy's? I don't know. I reached across the street, but I'd forgotten what my mother had told me. Look both ways before you cross. A car peeled around the corner. The driver couldn't see me. Huge black tires bore down on me. I tried to scurry out of the way, but I didn't have time. I shut my eyes. Is this how it'll end, I wonder, as roadkill? Chapter 24. Screech! The driver slammed on the brakes. The car stopped. Everything was quiet. I opened my eyes. One tire came so close it touched my ear. I zipped out of the way from under the tire. The car sped away. I reached the sidewalk. A dog stood guard. He barked at me. Whoops, I dodged him and ran up the tree. The dog chased me, barking furiously. I camped out under the tree until the dog got bored. His owner called him in. He trotted away. I sneaked out of the tree and dashed through the air. The rest of the way home, I dodged cars, bikes, dogs, cats, pets, you name it, and I had to dodge it. Then at last, I found myself staring up at my house. Come on, squirrel. Come on, squirrel, Pam chirped. It's safe now. I hopped into the house. Come on, squirrel, Pam chirped. What? Look, Pam cried. Who wants to come in? He wants to come in. What? Did I skip a page or something? Up at my house. Oh, yeah, I did. Sorry, so go back to... Found myself staring up at my house. It was nothing special. My house. Just a white square house with peeling paint. But to me, it looked beautiful to me. I had a new plan, and the idea would stop all this craziness once and all. I hoped. The whole problem had started when I slept in the guest room. I knew that's where the reality was. Lacey had said so. But even since I slept in the guest room, I'd slept in my own room not once. Something always stopped me. Either someone else was sleeping in there or it was being used for something else. My own room was the only way I could stop this. I had to sleep in my old room for me to turn normal again. My tiny old room. I'd never thought of it. I'd missed it. I decided I had to sleep in my old room again. Maybe that could turn everything back to normal. The way it should be. The way it used to be. I knew it sounded stupid, but it was worth a try. And anyway, I didn't have any other ideas. I scrambled up the rain gutter into the second floor. I peeked through to my old bedroom window. There it was, my old room, with my bed and everything, but the window was closed. I tried to push it open with my tiny squirrel paws. No luck. I checked the other window in my house. They were all shut. There had to be another wind. Maybe I could sneak through the door somehow. Was anyone home? I peered through the living room. Mom, Greg, and Pam were home. They were back. I got so excited I hopped up and down. Then Biggie waddled into the room. Oh yeah, I'd forgotten about Biggie. I wasn't too glad to see him. Biggie loved to chase squirrels. He saw me right away and started barking. Pam looked up. She smiled, pointing at me. Yes, I thought. Come on, Pam. Come on, Pam, get me. Pam opened the window and let me in. She gently opened the window. Hey, little squirrel, she cooed. You're so cute. I hesitated. I wanted to go inside, but Biggie was barking like crazy. Put Biggie in the basement, Pam told Greg. He's scaring the squirrel. She was being nicer to me as a squirrel than she'd ever been to her little brother. But I had to let that slide for now. Greg led Biggie into the basement and shut the door. Okay, shit. Sorry, this page turn thing's taking forever. Come on, squirrel, Pam chirped. It's safe now. I hopped into the window. Look, Pam cried. He wants to come in. It's almost like he's tame. Don't let him in here, Mom warned. Those animals have rabies or bugs, or at the very least. I tried not to listen. It's hard to hear your own mother insult you that way. I focused on getting upstairs. If I could only get up to my room and fall asleep just for a few minutes. He's getting away, Greg said. Catch him. Pam pounced at me. I skittered away. If the squirrel gets lost in the house, Pamela... Mom warned, you're going to be in big trouble. I'll catch him, Pam promised. Not if I can help, I silently vowed. Pam cut me off at the stairs. I darted into the kitchen. Pam followed me so close to the kitchen. Followed me so close she almost got me. She cornered me in the kitchen. I was trapped. Here, little squirrel, she called. Here, boy. Pam inched her way toward me. She was trying not to scare me away. I scurried under the table. She dove for me, and she missed. But when I scrambled away, she cornered me and snatched me up. I never knew she was so speedy. She grabbed me by the neck and held my feet together. I got him, she shouted. Greg threw open the kitchen door. Mom stood behind him. Take him outside, quick, Mom ordered. Can I keep him, Mom? Peg bammed. Pam begged. He'd be such a cute pet. I shredded. Me as Pam's pet? What a nightmare. But it might be my best chance of getting back to my room. No, Mum, insisted. You absolutely cannot keep him outside now. Pam Smith dropped. Okay, Mum, she said. Sadly, whatever you say. She carried me outside the kitchen. So, Mum is so mean, she said loudly, so Mum could hear. All I wanted to do was be your pet and cuddle you for a while. What's wrong with that? A lot, I thought. Pam was the last person I was ready to be cuddling with. Except for Greg. I'd rather cuddle with Pam than him. She opened the front door. Bye, you cute little squirrel, she said. Then she slammed the door shut. But she didn't let me go. She held me tightly in her arm. Then she just slipped up to her room. Don't worry, squirrel, she whispered. I won't keep you very long, just a little while. She pulled something out from under her bed. It was the old hamster cage. She opened the cage door. She shoved me inside. No, I protested, but all I could do was squeak. She locked the latch. I was a prisoner again. Chapter 25. Now what am I going to do, I thought frantically. I'm stuck in this stupid cage. I can't talk. How will I ever get to my old room? Another bad thought came to my mind. If I fall asleep in the tiny hamster cage, what would happen if I woke up as a human again? I was going to be way too big for this cage. Are you hungry, squirrelykins? I've got some nuts. I can get some nuts for you or something. She left the room for a minute. I paced around the cage, thinking hard. The next thing I knew, I was running on the hamster wheel. Stop it, I told myself. I made myself get off the wheel. I didn't want to get used to being a rodent. Here you go, squirrel. Pam returned to the room with a handful of nuts. She opened the door. She opened the cage and sprinkled the nuts inside. Yum, yum, squirrel, she squealed. Oh, brother, I ate the nuts. I was very hungry, after all. After all my adventures. But I would have enjoyed them more if Pam wasn't watching me the whole time. The phone rang. A moment later, I heard Greg call. Pam, telephone. Excellent, Pam cried. She jumped up and ran out of the room like a moron. I sat there gobbling my nuts. It took me 5 minutes to notice that Pam had left the room. Left the cage unlatched. Yes, I squeaked for once. I was glad Pam was not a genius. I pushed the door open with my paws. I crept toward the bedroom door, listening for footsteps. The coast was clear. Now was my chance. I dashed out the door, down the hall, and headed for my room. The door was shut. I threw my tiny squirrel body against trying to open it. No way. It was closed tight. Rats! I heard footsteps down the hall. Pam was coming back. I knew I had to get out of there before Pam put me back in the cage, or before my mom swatted me with her broom. I scurried down the steps into the living room. Was the window still open? Yes. I ran behind the couch, along the wall, and under the chair. Then I leaped out onto the window sill and out into the yard. I climbed the tree and crawled up the branch to rest. I couldn't get into my old room as a squirrel. There was only one thing I could do. I had to go to sleep again. And this time, I'd better wake up a human, because I had to get to my old room. If I didn't, I'd be in trouble. Big trouble. The reality police were on my trail, and it was only a matter of time before they'd find me. If they did, nothing could save me. Chapter 26. Crash! Thud! Oof! I landed hard on the ground. What a way to wake up. Who was I this time? What a relief. I was a 12-year-old boy again, but I still wasn't my old self. I was a very, very large, fat boy. Huh. Fat ass. A real blimp. No wonder the tree branch broke under me. Like, I was freaking huge. Freaking fat people in these R.L. Stein books, man. I'm telling you. Yeah? Just telling you. Okay, I shoot for the door locks. Shit, where am I? But that didn't matter. I was human again. I could talk and open doors, and maybe now I could get to my old room. I marched straight up to the front door and knocked. Straight up to the door and tried the knock. Locked. So I knocked. I had no idea who would answer. I hoped it wasn't a monster family. The door opened. Mom, I cried. I was so glad to see her. Mom, it's me, Matt. Mom stared at me. Who are you? She asked. Matt. Mom, Matt, your son? She squinted at me. Matt, I don't know anyone named Matt, she said. Sure you do, Mom. Don't you remember me? Remember that lullaby you used to sing me when I was a baby? She narrowed her eyes suspiciously. Graham and Peg peered behind her. Mom, who is it? Mom, Pam asked. Greg, I shouted. Pam, it's me. Matt, I'm back. Who is this kid? Greg asked. I don't know him, Pam said. Oh no, I thought. Please don't let this be happening. I'm so close. I need to sleep in my old room, I begged. Please, Mom, let me upstairs and sleep in my room. It's a matter of life and death. I don't know you, Mom said. And I don't know any Matt. You have the wrong house. The kid must be some kind of wacko, Greg said. Mom, wait, Mom, wait, Mom slammed the door right in my face. I turned around and started to walk down the path. What would I do now, I wondered. Then I stopped. I glanced down the block. Three people were running toward me. The last three people I wanted to see. Lacey, Bruce, and Wade. Three alley police. They'd found me. Chapter 27. There he is, Lacey pointed at me. The three of them started to run. Get him. I turned around and ran. It wasn't easy. I couldn't run very fast. Why did I have to wake up Chubby this time? I did have one advantage. I knew the neighborhood inside out, and they didn't. I ran across the yard to the next door neighbor's house. I glanced back. The reality police weren't gaining on me. They were half a block away. I disappeared behind the neighbor's house. I sneaked back around to my house. At the back of the garage is a line of thick shrubs. I threw myself behind the shrubs and held my breath. A few minutes later, the three pairs of feet hurried past me. Where'd he go? I heard Lacey ask. He must have gone the other way, Wayne said. Come on. They ran off. I'm just going to check the pages we got left here. Oh, perfect. We are on chapter 27. Thanks. Oh my god, 29 chapters. We have such a little amount of pages left. Okay. Do this thing, man. Freaking right. Okay, he must have gone the other way, Wayne said. They ran off. Ooh, I could breathe again. I let out a whoosh of air. Safe for now. But I knew the reality police would find me again. I had to get back to my room. But there was no way Mom would let me in. She thought I was some kind of total nutcase. There was only one thing I could do. I had to break into the house. I waited until nighttime, till everybody was asleep. Then I'd find an open window somewhere. Or break into one if I had to. I'd sneak into my room and sleep there. I hoped I would find something else. I hope I wouldn't find someone else sleeping there. In the meantime, I had to wait for night. I stayed hidden behind the shrubs. What? I thought it was night. Oh, okay. Whatever. I laid still as I could, and I struggled to stay awake. I didn't want to fall asleep again. If I fell asleep, who knew what I might be? I'd never get to my room. The hours trickled by slowly. At last night came. The neighborhood was quiet. I pulled myself out of strip. My legs and arms ached from hiding. I looked at the house. Everyone had gone to bed, except for Mom. Her bedroom light was still on. I waited until it went off. I waited another half an hour to give her some time to fall, sound asleep. Then I crept around to the front of the house. My mom was on the second floor. I knew Mom had locked all the doors. I knew she'd locked all the first floor doors. She did that every night. She did that every night. I had to climb to the second floor and sneak through my window. It was the only way. I had to climb up that tree that grew in the front yard. That grew into the front yard by my window. Then I had to reach out and grab the rain gutter and pull myself onto the ledge, climb in my window. If I could make it to the ledge, I might be able to open the window and crawl in. And that was the plan, anyway. The more I thought about it, the more it sounded stupid. Better not think about it, then I decided. I just have to do it. I stood up on my toes, stretching toward the lowest branch in the tree. It was just out of reach. I had to jump. My knees bent and I sprang up. My fingers grasped the branch, but I couldn't get a grip of it. See, that would just really suck, being a fat person trying to do all this stuff, you know? If only I weren't so chubby. I could only barely get off the ground, but I wouldn't give up. I vowed. I had to get upstairs and get in my room. So I took a deep breath. I gathered all my strength. I crouched down. I sprang up as high as I could. Yes, I grabbed the branch. I hang for a few seconds, wiggling. I kicked my legs. They were so heavy. I twisted around and walked up the tree trunk. With a grunt of effort, I hoisted myself onto the branch. Whew, the rest of the tree was pretty easy. I climbed until I reached the branch just outside my window. I grabbed the branch over my head and I stood up as I reached the gutter. I sure hoped it would hold. I grabbed the gutter. I tried to pull one foot onto the window ledge. I missed. I was hanging by my fingertips from the gutter. I looked down onto the ground. Seemed far away. I squeezed my lips shut. Tried to keep myself from screaming. I panted, hanging there. I had to get one foot onto the ledge, or I'd fall. I wiggled the left, trying to get closer. Crack! What was that? Crack! The gutter wasn't going to hold. Chapter 28. Crack! I felt myself sink. The gutter was about to give way. I mustered all of my strength. Clinging to the gutter, I stretched one leg out as far as it would. My toes touched the window ledge. I sat my foot down, then the other. I had made it. I crouched on the ledge. I clung to the gutter with one hand for balance. It didn't move. I tried to catch my breath. The night was cool, but I felt drops of sweat trickle down my face. I wiped them away with my free hand. I peered through the window. My room was dark. Was anybody in there? I couldn't tell. The window was shut. Please don't be locked. Please don't be locked, I prayed. If I couldn't get in, I'd be stuck on the ledge, and I'd have no way to get down, unless I fell, of course. I carefully tried the window. It slid open. It wasn't locked. I pushed it open. Then I crawled into my room. I tumbled onto the floor. I froze. Did anyone hear me? No sounds. Everyone was still asleep. I pulled myself to my feet. There it was, my bed, my old bed, and it was empty. I was so happy. I wanted to jump out and shout. I'd have to save the celebration for tomorrow, I decided. If my plans works, I'd be so grateful. I took off my shoes and crawled into bed. I sighed. Clean sheets. It felt so good to be back. Everything was almost normal. I was sleeping in my old bed. Mom, Pam, and Greg were all asleep in their rooms. Okay. I didn't look like myself. I didn't have my old body back yet, and my family didn't recognize me. If they saw me now, I'd think I was a burglar or a maniac or something. I pushed those things out of my mind. I wanted to think about the morning. What will happen in the morning, I wondered. I felt my eyes shut. I was super sleepy. Who will be there when I wake up? Will my life be normal again, or will I find Lacey and those guys standing over me, ready to pounce? There was only one way to find out. I closed my eyes and drifted to sleep. Oh, finally, chapter 29, the very last chapter of Chris reading Don't Go to Sleep. I felt something warm on my face, sunlight. I opened my eyes. Where was I? I glanced around. It was a small, cramped, messy room, full of junk. My old room. My heart skipped a beat. Did my plan work? Was it back to normal? I couldn't wait to find out. I threw off the covers and jumped out of bed. I hurried to the mirror in the back of my room. I was a skinny, blonde 12-year-old. Yes, I was back. It was me. Woo, I cried. Biggie nosed his way and waddled into the room. He growled at me. He barked. Biggie, I cried happily. I bent over and hugged him. He snapped at me. Good old Biggie. Matt, I heard Mom's voice call from the kitchen. It's my real mom. Matt, leave Biggie alone. Stop teasing him. I'm not teasing him, I yelled back. She always blames me for everything, but I didn't care. I was so glad to be back. I scrambled downstairs for breakfast. Then they sat down. My mom, Pam, and Greg were just there the way they were, always. The geeks entered the kitchen for his morning feeding. Greg spoke into the tape recorder. What does a geek eat? Let's watch it and find out. Greg, I sang. I threw my arms around his neck and hugged him. Hey, he swatted me away. Get off me, geek. And Pam, I gave her a big hug, too. What's your problem, pea brain? She snapped. Were you kidnapped by aliens last night? Am I right? Did they brainwash you? Ignoring her jokes, I patted her on the top of the Brillo pad hair. Cut it out, she whined. I gave my mom the biggest hug of all. Thanks, honey, she patted me on the back. At least she was at my side for once. Get some cereal, Matt, she said. I'm running late. I sighed happily and fixed myself some cereal. Everything was back to normal. No one, nothing could ruin this moment. I'm never going into that stupid guest room again, I vowed. Never. I'm going to stay in my little room forever. No matter how cramped. Thwack! Something stung me on the back of the neck. I rolled around. Greg gagged at me. He held a strong one hand. He spoke into the tape recorder. What happens to the paper wad at the geek? How does he respond? I bet he cries like a baby, Pam said. I shrugged and went back to eating my cereal. You can't bother me, I said. I'm too happy. Pam and Greg exchanged glances. Pam twirled one finger at the side of her head and pointed at me with the other. He's nuts. Something's happened to the geek, Greg announced. Yeah, Pam agreed. The geek has changed. School was so much fun that day. It was great to be in the 7th grade again. So much easier than high school. We played soccer in the gym. I even scored a goal. But on my way to class, I saw something that made my heart stop. A girl walked down the hall about my age. Long, thick, blonde hair and a ponytail. Oh no, Lacey. I froze. What should I do? Were the reality police still after me? Hadn't I fixed everything? Did they still need to put me to sleep? I've got to get out of here, I decided. I've got to run. Then a girl turned around. She grinned at me. It wasn't Lacey, just some girl with long blonde hair. I took a deep breath. I need to relax. I thought it over. It was all just a bad dream. I went to the last of my classes. No sign of Lacey, Bruce, Wayne, or anywhere. I whistled all the way home, thinking about how easy my homework was going to be. I walked in the house. Hi, Matt, Mom called. Mom, I was surprised to see you. She was usually at work when I got home. What are you doing home so early? She smiled at me. I took the day off, she explained. I had a few things to do around the house. Oh, I shrugged. I turned on the TV. Mom switched it off. Matt, aren't you curious? Curious about what? About what I've been doing all day. I glanced at the living room. Everything looked the same. I don't know, I said. What have you been doing all day? She smiled again and looked excited about it. Haven't you forgotten, she said? It's your birthday this week? Actually, I had forgotten. So much weird stuff had been going on that I had completely forgotten. When you're running for your life, you don't think much about your birthday. Sorry about that. I have a special surprise for you, Mom said. Come upstairs and I'll show you. I followed her upstairs. I started to get excited. What could the surprise be? It wasn't like Mom to make such a big deal about my birthday. The surprise must be something really great, I said. She stopped in front of my bedroom door. Is the surprise in my room, I asked. Look, she pushed open the door. I peered inside. My room was filled with cardboard. Tons of big boxes and stuff, from floor to ceiling. Wow, are those presents for me, I asked. Mom laughed. Presents? All of those boxes? Of course not, she cracked up. I knew it had to be true. Well, what's the surprise, I asked. Matt, she began, I've been thinking about what you said the other day, and I decided you're right, your room is too small for you. So I turned it into a storage closet. You what? That's right, she walked across the hall. She threw open the guest room door. Ta-da! Oh, no. It can't be. Not that. Happy birthday, Matt. She shouted, welcome to your new room. I couldn't say a word. My bed and dresser and everything was in here. They were all set up in the guest room. Matt, what's the matter, Mom? This is what you wanted. My mouth fell open. I started to scream. And that is the end of... Don't Go to Sleep. This one wasn't as long as part one. It probably wasn't as good as part one either, and part one probably wasn't all that great either, but I hope one or two or maybe three people listened to this completely, and when I was listening to the first one, I heard how Dune was saying, oh yeah, thanks for reading and everything, but actually this was like freaking an honor to be able to help you out with Dune Reads Goosebumps, man. Greatest podcast ever, and I really hope it goes far. Thanks. See ya.
No, thank you. Yeah, seriously, anytime you can read any book you want. That was awesome. I'm impressed. You sound exactly like Nick did. Nick Sleazen from the old Dune Reads Goosebumps fame. When I first met him back in the day. When we were merely children. Anyway, that concludes Don't Go to Sleep by R.L. Stine on Dune Reads Goosebumps. I am Dune, and I'm actually about to go switch over to a new cool edit file and get back to working on why I'm afraid of bees. I'm assuming it has something to do with the stingers. It probably has to do with the stingers. Anyway, stay spooky, you bitches!